Tommy, how long you been married?
Sir?
How long you been married?
Oh, Lord, 35 years.
Okay, good. Donna, how long y'all been married? Huh? 26 years. Steve, how long you been married? 1 week. All right, you can see it. Terry and Sandy, how long you guys been married? 22. Shay? Huh? 17. Christy? Huh? 10. Mary, how long were you married before you passed away? 19. Mike Ead, how long you been married, buddy?
7 years.
I remember that day. Mike and Connie, how long you guys been married?
11.
Lynn Conley, how long y'all been married? 43. Linda and Loy? 30. Kevin? Year and a half. All right. Jeff and Bunny? Huh? 44. Virginia, how long were y'all married before he passed away? 47. Francis, how long were you married before he passed away? Megan, Matthew, how long have you guys been married? 10 and a half.
I'm sorry, 35 and a half.
You're digging a deeper hole, buddy. Over here, how long have y'all been married? Yes.
9 years.
9 years. 39. George, Judy. All right. Awesome. Bill and Gail. 49. Awesome. See you. We're getting there. Bob and Nancy. 45. Marlon. And Aretha. Awesome, awesome. Eddie and Evelyn? All right. Excellent, excellent. Hilda? 38. Laverne and Malcolm? 46 in November. Jean and Roy? 58. Tracy and Sal. 31. Bill and Judy. 19. Philip and Lynn. 28. Susan and Mike. 40 today. Can you believe it? I told her this morning she had a high tolerance for pain. Stand together with me. We want to look in God's Word together. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. Title of our message is Marriage That Works for a Lifetime. Starting in verse 21 of Ephesians 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, for which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they do their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. As we were going around, I heard the numbers. I don't think I heard a number. Maybe I heard one that was a little bit more, but one of the ones that was at the top of the list was Marlon and Aretha. Marlon, would you ask God to bless the reading of his word this morning? Amen. You may be seated. As I said today, Susan and I celebrate 40 years of marriage. I can remember standing at the altar in Nashville First Church, looking at the door as it came open, and Susan and her dad coming down the aisle. And what a beautiful bride. What a beautiful bride. And she was coming down the aisle to meet me and to put her hand in mine. And we were to stand in front of two pastors who it took two to hold us together and to put us together. And in fact, one of those two is in heaven. The other one had made a comment on our Facebook post about it today, and I told him he tied a very good knot. Dr. Ed Nash and Dr. Millard Reed performed our wedding. But that started a day and a life of adventure. I am one lucky guy. And when you say this morning, is this going to be a sermon all about Susan? No. It's a sermon about marriage. Because guys, you need to think, if I'm saying something about Susan, you need to be thinking about your own spouse. Ladies, if something's said about me, you need to be thinking about your own husband. For really, when we get right down to it, marriage is not a two-way partnership. It's a trinity, with Christ as the head of the home and husband and wife together. The triangle is the strongest formation, not only in geometry but in construction. There is strength in that triangle, but it needs to be under the leadership of the Lord. Susan and I were blessed and have been blessed to see marriages live for God lived out in front of us. Susan's mom and dad, still very much together after all these years, 60 plus years, I think 64 years of marriage, have shown us what it's like to be partners. My mom and dad were married almost 64 years when he went home to be with the Lord last summer. We have seen marriages that work around us, but we've also seen marriages that fell apart. And saw that example and the harm that it did. My paternal grandfather, Mac Conley Blankenship, walked out on my grandma. And a big, huge family saw what he was doing, and it's had an impact to this day, into the next generation and the generation after and so on, because of the sins of my grandfather. Susan's maternal grandfather, who was a minister, a Nazarene pastor, walked out on his marriage vows. And the damage that it did hurt deeply. Both of these men hurt a lot of folks by what they did. The good thing was, I know that on Susan's grandfather's side, I never met him, but on his side, before he passed away, he got back right with the Lord and was able to ask his wife to forgive him for what he'd done. On the other hand, my grandfather was tragically killed in a car accident in a rainstorm, in which his Jeep went over in a curve, landed in a river, and they didn't find him for 3 days. Why do I tell you this? Because to every one of us, we are looking at the example of marriages around us. We see the strengths in their relationships. We see what we may perceive as weaknesses. We may say, man, you know, if that's what it really takes for it to work, that's what I want in my home and in my marriage. But we also see the danger signs that if you don't see the respect and love there, the road that they might be headed down. And one thing that I found as a pastor, the longer that I've been a pastor, in the earlier years, it used to be that folks, if there was the least little bit of trouble in their relationship, they didn't think too much about wanting to come to the pastor. They would come to the pastor, come to somebody else, and seek out advice, preventative medicine, so to speak. But as the years have gone by, I've noticed that some folks, they wait, and the pastor or the church is the very last ones they tell. They've already made up their mind. They don't want to hear my 2 cents worth. They don't want to hear what God's Word has to say about it. And they just decide to do their own things. There's a third aspect. When we talked about the Trinity part, it takes the Lord, but it takes a husband and a wife. And I know that really, if truth be said, you can't be married alone. If your spouse is not working at the marriage is work, and you got to work at it to make it work. But if you're trying everything that you can to keep it together and your spouse is trying to do everything that they can to pull it apart, chances are it's going to pull apart. And there's great deep hurt that happens there, and I understand that. But I do understand that we serve a God that can come in and heal the hurt and help in that and sometimes lead us and bring us to other people in our lives that we can connect with and bond with, and we're no longer alone. Out of ashes, out of hurt, out of harm, God can create something beautiful. And I've seen folks get married again and have strong marriages because you found that you have a husband and a wife that are willing to come together under the leadership of the Lord. That's the example that works for every single one of us. He needs to be the leader. Amen. And we partner together under his leadership. There's keys to a successful marriage. And I'd like to talk with you about some of those keys this morning. The first key to a successful marriage is a commitment to permanence of a marriage. When Susan and I stood before the altar after talking with the pastors, and I advocate, in fact, I'm taking a couple through premarital counseling right now. I advocate premarital counseling. Susan and I kind of did our own premarital counseling and some books that we read and things that we talked about and so on. And had two great pastors, and nothing against them, but the premarital counseling that we got was one guy deferred to the other that, well, I'll let him do it. And I think they both thought that the other guy was going to do it. And it wound up that the premarital counseling that we had was, we got invited to supper one night over at the pastor's house, and the pastor knew that we were going to be moving to Kansas City, so he and his wife proceeded to tell us all the great restaurants in Kansas City to go eat at when we moved to Kansas City. That was not, and I was on staff at the church, so I guess you know they assumed that I was going to get it by osmosis. And Lord forgive me, cut that out of the tape. I shouldn't have said that, because I don't mean any disrespect. But marriage is so important that there needs to be an investment on the front end. Folks, I want you to understand what you're getting into. I want you to understand this relationship and the importance that you need to place on each other, the importance that you need to place under the leadership of the Lord, and that you work at it. And that, don't let a day go by without saying I love you. Don't let a day go by without doing something kind for one another. Don't let a day go by that you don't appreciate the one that God's given to you. A key is the seeking a permanent relationship. It's not built on compatibility. It's built on commitment. You make a commitment for a lasting relationship with the Lord's help under his leadership. And as I said, if it's going to work, you got to work at it. So the first one is, under the leadership of the Lord, you make a commitment for a permanent relationship. Not if we get into this thing and, 6 months later, if we don't like it, we're going to cut and run. Or the ones, I don't really understand prenuptial agreements. Because a prenuptial agreement is saying, This is what's going to happen when it's over with. Now, I understand that legally, and so I understand that. But relationally, when I go in, when I made the commitment that day, and I believe when she made the commitment that day at the altar, that we weren't signing some document, this is what we're going to do to get out of it. You know, this is what we're going to take when we split. For me, splitting is death. Permanence. A second commitment is a commitment to be faithful, that you're faithful to one another. In the marriage vows, there's the part that will cleave on to her only as long as you both shall live. That means that you seek to be faithful to another each other, and you'll not cheat on them. The seventh of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not commit adultery. The commitment of permanence, of faithfulness in marriage, is only successful as we keep that to please the Lord and to protect our spouse. It's vital for a lasting relationship. And we'll find fulfillment in one another when we seek for fidelity in the relationship. As you do that, we understand a commitment not only to permanence, but a commitment, as I had said, first of all, that we're going to be in this with the Lord. We're going to come under His leadership. Lord, lead our mind, lead our thoughts, lead our actions in such a way that this will be a permanent relationship, and this will be a relationship in which we'll be faithful one to the other. The third key is a commitment to cooperation, that we'll cooperate with them. We'll work to bring out the best to them. By being cooperative, I mean that you're a team player. You know I love football. Football's not going to work if you got 11 quarterbacks and no receivers. Football's not going to work if you got 11 running backs and no offensive line. Football's not going to work if you don't work together and know where the other one should be, and we got the play down, and we work together as a team. It's working to bring out the best in each other. And as we do that, we realize that both are valuable. The quarterback may get the attention, but the quarterback's nothing without a left guard that's very good. If that left guard's not protecting their blind side, that quarterback's going to be on the ground looking up at the stars, and the stars are going to be spinning around in his head. For that receiver to shine, it's all had to work for them to be able to catch the ball and proceed on down the field. For a marriage to work, it takes husband and wife together working, seeking to protect one another, protecting one another's blind spots, and helping them go down the field and succeed. It's also, I think, seeing in them maybe what they did not see for themselves or were scared to accomplish by themselves, and trying to eliminate those fears. Several years ago, well, when we first got married, I had just graduated from Trevecca. I was called to be on staff at College Church and working on, and there under the pastor, and knew that I'd be going to seminary, and waited to go to seminary for a year while Susan and I'd met this young lady, and we got engaged and fell in love, and I wanted to date her for a while, get to know her. I didn't think it would be smart for me to move to Kansas City and leave her in Nashville, so I hung around in Nashville. The Lord worked all that out. And in doing that, she had been in her junior year at Trevecca. We got married and went off to Kansas City. She'd still junior year at Trevecca. She started working and got a Ph.T. degree, put hubby through. She put hubby through seminary, typed my papers, proofread them, encouraged me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We raised two kids and were very active in a church. Could not have made it through seminary without her help. Could not have made it through life without her help. But she always had a dream of being able to go back and finish college and being able to go back and finish at Trevecca. Well, the Lord worked it out many years later when our son was ready to go to college, that Susan had the opportunity and she could go to college, and she could go to college at Trevecca and finish. She changed her major to church music ministry with a minor in vocal performance and had a lot of education credits. And so she was able to get into Trevecco. I encouraged her. Our son Jared encouraged her. Our daughter Jenna encouraged her. And we lived 35 miles away from campus, and so she would drive. She was a regular student, would drive all that way to school. And some days were good, some weeks were good, some days and weeks were tough. But there was one time that was just particularly tough. She was exhausted, and it was, I think, a difficult class. And our daughter had put a note in the car and a gift and I think a Diet Coke in Susan's car that morning. And the note said something to the effect, "Mom, I love you, I believe in you, you can do it." You see, when there's an atmosphere created within a family of encouragement, what we don't believe that we can do, we're tempted to hang in there and keep doing it because the others around us believe that we can. Do you realize that you have the opportunity to bring out the best in your spouse, to help them succeed and soar, rather than being sore and soured because of an attitude that might be pushing them down? No marriage is going to be very successful unless both husband and wife cooperate and seek to bring out the best in each other. For husbands, we're to love our wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That means that we're willing to sacrifice whatever's necessary to make the marriage work and for them to feel comfortable, for them to feel a sense of peace, for them to feel a sense of protection. Husbands are to cooperate at 1 Peter 3:7. Consider it as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. They deserve respect. If for no other reason, guys, it's because they're putting up with you. And some days we're not easy to put up with. God gives the ladies more grace. We don't seek to be a dictator. We don't seek to make demands on our spouse. We respect her, though, as she is a gift from God to us. She deserves our respect and our love. She deserves our consideration. She deserves a whole lot of thanks for taking care of us and cleaning up after us and putting things together and organizing things. And the list that wives and moms of all your assignment, ladies, if we just paid you minimum wage by the hour, we'd all go broke. But you deserve way more than minimum wage on the hour. But ladies, you have a part to play in it too. In the scripture that we see today, we need to support our husbands. In Genesis 2:20, it says that God created Eve to be a helper for Adam. She was to be there, someone to support him. Particularly, he chose a bone from Adam's rib to create Eve from, that Eve would be by his side, to be protected by him, but also to encourage him, that they would go through life together, side by side, supporting and cooperating, rather than criticizing, condemning, and undermining. Coordinating and cooperating and caring for each other. Secondly, wives, we submit ourselves to our husbands, and we do it in such ways that we listen to them. Sometimes, maybe you're not guilty of it, guys, but I'll tell the same story. And she's heard it so many times, she can tell it better than me, but she still listens. She hears. There's times that she needs to obey and times that she supports. There's times in which they help us believe in ourselves. They encourage us. They pick us up when we're down. They respect us. They hold us in high regard so that others would see, particularly so that the children would see. A respect for Dad and what it would be like and what it should be like between husband and wife. We do it also by loving and by thanking the Lord for them, but also thanking them. You know, the two words thank you go a whole long way. But guys, everything that I said that in submission of wives to husbands, it works for us. We need to listen to them. We need to hear them. We need to obey. We need to support and encourage them, respect them, love them, thank them. And as we do, we'll see that God will take what the world is trying to destroy and he'll bring it back into the strength and form of that triangle. Not a triangle that's set where the wife is at the top, not a triangle that's set where the husband's at the top, but a triangle that's set where Jesus is at the top. And it can handle pretty much any storm that Satan wants to throw at it. Leads me to the fourth aspect of it. It's not only that we seek a permanence, our faithfulness, our cooperative nature, but really we need to be Christ-centered in our relationship. Oh, there's marriages, as we went around the room, there's marriages that can have numbers like what we're talking about and that we heard today, that they don't have Christ in their home. But there's a big gap there. There's a big hole there. There's a big void there of leadership that you need. See, a relationship that's built on Jesus Christ and is maintained on Jesus Christ and is under the leadership of Jesus Christ is one that it's awful hard for Satan to get at. And as both couples hand in hand together say, with one hand I got a hold of you, and in the other hand I got a hold of Jesus. And if your spouse has one hand holding you and she has the other hand holding Jesus, it's going to be awful hard for Satan to get in there. And as that intertwining nature is, it builds on such a foundation that it's a foundation that's solid. It's not a foundation of sand. It's not a foundation of wishing. Some people are married because they're in love with the idea of being married. Others are married because of the convenience of it. They feel like that, you know, it's convenient. I don't want to be alone. And, you know, marriage, I know, has been used as ways to get around illegal aliens or help people to get citizenship status and so on. And in that sense, it's getting abused. Bottom line, no matter where you're coming from politically. But marriage that's built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ is a relationship in which Satan, he'll try everything he can to get at it and destroy. But as I'm praying for my spouse and my spouse is praying for me, as we open up God's Word together, I shared with you earlier this year that for Christmas, Susan's mom and dad had given us devotional books for the whole family, for the couples of the family to take those devotional books and share those devotionals together. And I thought to myself, for a couple that's been married over 60 plus years and they're giving us the example of spend time together in God's Word and time in prayer, time talking and listening to one another. Wow. In marriage, if you'll build your marriage with Christ as the focal point in your life in a marriage, it'll endure the storms of life. But it takes both of us keeping our focus on Him and having Jesus as Lord. We can trust God's design. The triangle relationship in building has also been told another way. And it's the three chords. In Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, it talks about a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You can have the strand, and I've used this in wedding ceremonies. You can have one color strand that stands for the groom and the other for the spouse, but you need the third strand in there to weave the cord together before it comes to a strong braided rope. And that's the strand of God, that He needs not only to be at the head, but He needs to literally be right down in between in all aspects of our life. Two strands, really the mystery of it is this: that third strand, when God enters the picture, when God works in and through. That third strand keeps things tightly woven together. It keeps life from unraveling. As we hold the husband and wife together, He does it in such a way in which it makes it strong for us to bear up under the load. Engineers have told us that just in the wood arena, if you're talking about 2x4s and so on, if you were to double wood, its strength would increase exponentially. If you double a 4x4 piece of angle iron, it increases its load-carrying capacity 43 times. In other words, one piece can now hold 2,200 pounds. But when you add a third to it, it's able to hold not 2,200 pounds, but 96,000 pounds. When the third strand comes through our lives and God is woven in our relationship, It's able to withstand stress and pressures that it could never stand, husband by themselves, female by themselves. But when God's there and he's interwoven in our lives, we can stand way more than we ever could without him. And good things happen out of it. As the good things happen out of it, we see that the legacy lives on. We are blessed with two children that love the Lord, a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law that love the Lord, four grandchildren, and last week I was FaceTimed with our oldest granddaughter. I had it in my phone that on the 12th of the month, a year ago on the 12th of the month, Karis had given her heart to the Lord. And so that night, we got on, Grammy and Dobby got on FaceTime with her and said, "Karis, happy anniversary." And she knew the night before I texted her mom and dad, "Yes, I gave my heart to Jesus a year ago." But that was something that was planted within that child, and what she saw lived out in her parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. The legacy gets passed on. Folks, may all those who come behind us find us faithful. May they see that God's plan of one plus one with God really becomes an unbreakable bond. One plus one with God really becomes one. He has created us. Male and female, he created thee, them, and he brought them together that we did not need to be alone, but we could come together under his leadership and his lordship to create a new home in which he is Lord. I would challenge husbands today to be the best husband that you can be. Wives, I challenge you to be the best wife that you could be. I would challenge you today, I would humbly ask you, pray for your spouse. Pray for the challenges that they face. Pray for the successes that they might have. That the successes don't go too much to their head, and that the trials that they have don't get them down too much. Pray for them that they'll be the kind of spouse they need to be, or the kind of employee that they need to be, the kind of father that they need to be, the kind of son or daughter that they need to be. Pray for them that God would meet them at their point of need. Pray for them that they would understand that they're not alone, that you're by their side, but God's by both your sides. We really have a decision. What kind of marriage do you want? It's really like the example of a teen who held a bird in his hand. He was asked by the teacher, "Is that bird alive or dead?" He thought he had the teacher, because if he'd said that it was dead, he would open up his hand and the bird would take off. And the teacher, if he was said that the bird was alive, that the teen would take it and crush it in his hands. Instead, the teacher looked into that teen's eyes, who was holding the bird, and he says, "You alone know the answer." The same is true with our marriage. You alone hold the answer. I alone hold the answer. Susan alone hold the answer. I do not know why God blessed me so, but I'm so glad he did. I do not know why God so blessed you so, but I'm so glad that he did. I would like to ask all the couples of the church, if they would, to please stand. All the married couples of the church to please stand. Susan, would you come and pray for our marriages today? And God bless each of you. We love you.
Father, we thank you so much for your love for each one of us. Father, we know that in this room there are many years of marriage accumulated. And many of our marriages have gone through good times and maybe some not so good times. Those vows that we take in sickness and in health, sometimes we have to face those things. But most of all, Father, as we heard today, we know that you are a God. You are our rock. Yes. You are always there, the one that we can lean on and trust and know that you will be with us no matter what we may face. Lord, I just pray for each couple today. I just pray, Father, that you would bless their homes with your peace, with your grace, with your mercy, and most of all, with your love. Will you be in each home for those who have children? I just pray for them today, Lord, especially as they guide their children towards you. I just pray, Father, that you will continue to strengthen them. We know that the evil one is fighting hard, but we know, God, that you are much greater. And for those of us who are grandparents and our kids are grown and we have those precious grandchildren, help us, Father, to be the best grandparents that we can be, that we are always pointing our grandchildren towards you. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us this day. And as we go out into a world that is sometimes not especially friendly to us, may we still be the beacon of hope. And may others see and know that we love you. Go with us now, we pray, Father. May your presence not leave us, but may your presence go with us and be with us through this week. You know what lies ahead. So be with each one, we pray. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.